Proper nutrition is a must for mind as well as for body. This is especially important for school-age kids. When family income or work schedules make answering this need a bit challenging, school breakfast lunch programs, they certainly fill that void. Now, regarding school breakfast, while New Jersey has made great strides forward, it's still the program not achieving its maximum potential. That's about to change, thanks to a new law which mandates breakfast after the bell. With us now to explain the importance of this program and how two more New Jersey schools will be implementing this program is the program director with Partners for Health Foundation, Kathy Smith. How are you today, Kathy?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Great to have you here to talk about something very important that's probably with more parents that know about it, they can start pushing and nudging the school administrators to really do what is a real easy step with breakfast after the bell. Let me give you the website, too, for the Partners for Health Foundation. It's partnersfdn.org. Find out more about their work and get involved wherever you can as well. Explain, we all know the school breakfast program. Explain breakfast after the bell. How is that specifically different and more beneficial?
Sure, Chris. Well, what we found is, well, not we, but people across the nation have found and schools across the nation have found that there were student programs offering breakfast before the bell, but the students just couldn't get to school that early to be able to eat that meal. So now, with breakfast after the bell, it starts after the start of the school day, which means some minor adjustments within the school. But when kids get breakfast after the start, they're not losing instruction time. In most cases, teachers offer it during a quiet work period after the bell, the beginning of the school day. And they get that meal, which makes them more focused and ready to learn until the lunch period, which they were losing before with breakfast before the bell.
Give you some stats, too, from the latest report. There are over 539,576 students eligible for free and reduced-price school meals. Number of students receiving free or reduced-price school breakfast, 228,525. So that means over 300,000 not taking part in the breakfast before the bell, the more traditional side. So seems like, Kathy, this could really knock down that number of non-participants.
Yes. They estimate about 500 schools will be working to serve about 308,000 kids breakfast after the bell due to this new legislation. But another item I'd like to point out is that this law affects schools that have 70% or more eligibility, which is great, and advocates and parents are thrilled with it. But there are other schools that may be just under that threshold, such as one of our schools in our service area in Clifton, or in Bloomfield, where the Berkeley School is at 67%. So if you think about a classroom with 25 children, at 70%, you're at 17 kids who may be going to school hungry. But at 67, you're talking 16 kids. Or at 50%, you're still talking half the classroom. So what we're doing at Partners for Health is we're trying to look at all of these schools and encourage parents to get involved and inquire as to what the eligibility levels are in their district, in their community schools, and find out which schools are serving breakfast after the bell.
I say this with a chuckle, but it's really a common sense point. There are schools, we've talked about this with other officials in various programs throughout the state, there are school officials who resist breakfast after the bell with the excuses being, well, we don't have the people, don't have the proper facilities, the time it takes, and a simple response to that would be, well, don't you serve lunch after the bell?
Right, of course. And that's another thing Partners for Health is doing. We're funding organizations to help with promotion of breakfast after the bell, and we're also giving out small grants for some materials that might make it easier for schools to implement breakfast after the bell. For instance, they might have a kiosk in the hallway for kids that arrive, and they can just grab the breakfast off the kiosk or the cart, and we'll supply funding for that and promotional materials just to remove some of the little logistical obstacles that could get in the way and incentivize schools to work with breakfast after the bell.
All right, Kathy Smith, who is Program Director with Partners for Health Foundation, partnersfdn.org is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Schools can't make the claim, too, that this is a financial issue for not doing it, either full participation or breakfast before it after the bell, because the federal government already has the money divvied up. And if you become a participating school, the money is waiting for you.
Right. Right now, when schools don't serve breakfast after the bell and they have significant eligibility, they're leaving federal dollars untapped that could be coming into the district and alleviating hunger for those children. So you're right, Chris. It really is an important issue. And the money's available. So we really do encourage more communities and more schools to take advantage of those federal dollars.
Like I said in the introduction, too, this isn't just a matter of nutrition. It's brain power. And school children come in with a lack of nutrition, their memory, their knowledge, the performance in the classroom, it suffers from that.
Right, and all the students in the classroom suffer because when kids come to school hungry, there are a lot more disruptions. Children have headaches or stomach aches. They go to visit the school nurse more. There's more disruption in the classroom due to disciplinary actions that are necessary. The whole class benefits when kids are well-fed, focused, and ready to learn.
Just to give you, too, a little recap of the law, this new law that Governor Murphy signed, estimated 500 schools educating about 308,000, as Kathy said, will be required to serve breakfast after the bell. In these schools, 90% of students on average are eligible to get free or low cost. Only half have been, at least as far as October 2017 report was concerned, about half received the breakfast. That's 150,000 unserved students. Under the law, affected schools must serve breakfast after the bell by the 2019-2020 school year. And like Kathy said, too, according to the mandate, that's a 70% participation rate and eligibility rate. But if your school district is 69, 68, 65% as a parent and even as an educator part of the system, it really falls upon you to get with your school administrator, school board, and just urge them to look into this after the breakfast after the bell program to realize how easy it is to integrate into the school day. And even if it might be a challenge at first because it's a change of normalcy, quote unquote, as if anything in a school day is normal anymore. But once it's adjusted and properly integrated into the school day, the long-term benefits makes this one of the more wise investments you could possibly make in the future of children. So there is really no reason not to implement it in any school district, and whether or not the law mandates your schools to do it or not. And when you think, too, of the when I think about the money side of things, with the reimbursements, that covers funds for school meal programs. You can use the money for the food, obviously, upgrade the kitchens, the cafeterias, new equipment, hire staff, improve the food that schools are serving, which a lot of people, you know, a lot of kids, even kids get tired of pizza day, I guess, every Friday or whatever the case may be. So there is no really downside to this program, is there, Kathy?
Not that we can see, Chris, no. We have one of our service area districts is Clifton with a student population of over 6,000 children. 57% of those district students are eligible, and right now only 17% are participating in the program. So we can see there's a lot of work to do. They don't meet the 70% threshold in all of their schools, but certainly all those students can benefit if we can implement those programs.
And one of the ways these programs are being implemented is through the work of the Partners for Health Foundation. Learn more about them at partnersfdn.org. We've been talking with the program director, Kathy Smith. Kathy, thanks for the insight and the inspiration, the motivation for parents and school employees, administrators to really put in an easy answer with long-term benefits into the program, into the schools. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for your interest in this issue, and thanks for inviting me to participate.